Next, we have a presentation by Mr. Rob Waters. He's a senior communication advisor to the Prevention Institute and previously was the Institute's chief communication officer. He has worked for 30 years in journalism as a science and biotech reporter for Bloomberg News, senior editor for WebMD, and has written for the LA Times, Mother Jones, Time Inc., Health, and many publications. He blogs for Forbes Inc., writes for other publications, and provides editorial and communication services for health, public health, scientific, and other nonprofit organizations. He'll be speaking about communication, health systems transformation. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. My presentation is going to go in a little bit different direction. I'm going to talk about basically storytelling in the context of population health and efforts to integrate community prevention and clinical care. I spent the last couple of years as communications director at the Prevention Institute in Oakland. And Prevention Institute is, for those of you who don't know it, it's a 17-year-old public health organization that works to really foster the idea of prevention, of looking at and engaging with the social determinants of health to prevent injuries and disease before they occur. So really looking at the precursors of poor health and trying to address it through community engagement and action and collaboration. So I have no disclosures. For the past several years, Prevention Institute has been working extensively on health reform and health systems transformation. And again, the work is aimed at encouraging what we call community prevention, local efforts that aim to change conditions in communities. And a big part, a part of that has been our effort to promote the and maintain and actually help create the Prevention and Public Health Fund, which was a part of the Affordable Care Act. So we've done a lot of advocacy work around that issue, and we see communication and outreach as really an important part of the advocacy work that needs to be done around the promotion of population health and wellness. That's one major piece of work that we've focused on, community prevention. Another is a model that we've sort of, I don't know if we, I would say we created it, but we identified what we call the community-centered health homes, and it's sort of a model of engagement between clinical providers and community-based organizations, and trying to get clinics, people working in clinics to go as far upstream as possible and work in a community context with community-based organizations. Part of the effort that's important is that we don't, in public health and in the effort to increase access to care, I think we often don't tell stories well enough, and we don't tell our successes, and we don't communicate well, extremely well to the public, and we have stories to tell. So this is a couple of papers that, and the community-centered health home model, we produced, several papers, we put papers out. But what's really more important, I think, is getting the word out and kind of trumpeting our successes and talking about the importance of the work and the way that the lives that are affected, people's lives that are affected by the work. I want to share, essentially a couple of case studies of work that we've done over the last couple of years around communication. In 2012, we created a series of success stories of programs that received funding from the Prevention and Public Health Fund. I have a blog at Forbes.com, so we used that blog to basically create a series of success stories on different communities that had received CTG funding. And it was a really interesting process. I sort of used my journalism skills, put together these success stories. We put them out. The first piece was on Tuolumne County, California, where the focus of their work was principally on tobacco cessation. The Makah Indian tribe in Washington State, their focus was primarily on exercise and starting up walking clubs in this rural Indian community. In Wisconsin, the effort was focused around fresh fruit access and bringing farmers' produce into schools, farm to table. And in Nashville, where the effort was on overall health and wellness and providing access to bicycles, walking, et cetera. So we did each of these success stories. We created a web page on our website. We created a little graphic, bastardizing Ben Franklin's quotes a little bit. And we also did a lot of e-alerts to our supporters to try to advocate on behalf of the Prevention and Public Health Fund, which, as people know, is under constant threat and attack, and was at the time, there was an effort to defund it, or multiple efforts to defund it, along with the entire Affordable Care Act. So we just sort of kept up a steady drumbeat of trying to tell the success stories, sending out e-alerts asking people to take action, and I think we had some success. We generated a lot of emails. These are sort of some of the key goals to this approach, that you can use blogs and web-based articles that can be easily shared and posted and reposted and retweeted, using social media and using alerts to our supporters and asking them to pass the word on. And we did a similar thing. This is getting more into the health system and health reform work. In the context of this model we call a community-centered health home, we decided to present the stories of several different providers around the country or different healthcare and public health organizations that are doing the kind of work that we see as important, this sort of integrated work, moving clinical work upstream and focusing on partnerships with community organizations. So we did, we looked at Cincinnati Children's Hospital and their work to really use geographic information systems to map asthma clusters and also housing conditions and link the two. We did a piece on San Diego's Live Well San Diego, the affordable care community that they created, again, focusing on partnerships between public health and community organizations. We did a piece on St. John's Well Child and Family Center, a huge clinic in South L.A., series of clinics in South L.A. that not only does clinical work, but also partners with community health workers to look for instance, deficient housing, poor housing conditions that lead to a lot of the conditions that they treat patients, asthma, et cetera. So, and then we did a piece on an accountable care community that was created in Akron, Ohio. So, and we called the whole series, we kind of put the whole series together, we called it Profiles in Innovation, we put it up on our website, we sent out e-alerts about it, and we also got a lot of Twitter traffic, a lot of people sending out, tweeting about it and spreading the word. And one of the things that was also great was that for the individual groups that we profiled, were all very appreciative of the work, and they put it up on their websites and sort of kept the work moving and kept the conversation really going. you know, a few issues, I think, and just a couple of numbers. The last series of blogs was viewed by about 20,000 people. I had some stats on the number of tweets, but I think they're kind of meaningless, so I'm not going to get into that. Mark Zuckerberg and Oprah Winfrey did not actually endorse the Austin Bioinnovation Institute. That comes up when Forbes is mentioned somehow in Facebook's algorithm, but I thought it was fun to show Oprah and Mark Zuckerberg. So, just a couple of lessons from the work. The work needs to be planned. This kind of work, I think a lot of groups, many healthcare and public health organizations can do this kind of work, but it needs a lot of planning, and it can't be an afterthought. So in any public health campaign or in any effort to, you know, any health initiative, the work, if you want to reach, it's a combination of reaching the public, but also reaching your natural allies, your supporters, your collaborators, and getting everyone to sort of talk on the same page and to put the word out. So that kind of work requires, it's not expensive in most senses, but it does require time and resources and planning. The use of images and graphics is really important because they can help give a recognizable identity to an initiative, a brand. I think that's an area that we could have, in the work that we did, that we could have been more effective. And I think that's something to really focus on in the future. Finally, collaboration is critical so that your natural allies can help disseminate the work and build the effort. You need to reach out early so that you contact other organizations as early as possible to get them to, give them a heads up that this kind of work is coming. Let them know that there's a piece coming out. Let them know that you're going to be doing some Twitter work and you want them to retweet your messaging. So planning is important. Collaboration is important. And, above all, be creative, collaborate, and have fun as you do it. And that's it.